Blog Talk Radio.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Dr. Jennifer Daniels, and you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels, Blog Talk Radio, and Rainbow Soul. Okay, this is Tuesday, March 4th. It's 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and today's topic is grass-fed or what? And, you know, I thought when I researched this that I was just going to find ho-hum, yawn, just another deception, but as always, it just goes a little bit deeper than that. So what got me interested in this topic, well, first of all, I've been vegetarian for like 26 years. And actually vegetarian for probably 10, 12 of those years, and vegan for the rest. And so during the course of all that, one comes in contact with various vegetarian groups. And I became a vegetarian for health reasons. Woke up one day, everything seemed to be fine. Halfway through the day, I thought I was going to die. Couldn't even stand up, and I said to myself, as long as I'm going to die anyway, I might as well become vegetarian, because in medical school I learned that being vegetarian was, of course, deadly, and I've always wanted to do it. So I became vegetarian, and just everything cleared up pretty nicely. So I stayed vegetarian for 26 years. Now, the big concern, of course, is eating meat and what's meat and what's wrong with meat. And so what got me thinking about this again was last week, my husband and I had to go, we went to the bank, and we had to go through some, get some special numbers from the bank in order to have money wired and this and that. And so the bank has two floors. And in Panama, I'm in the middle of the jungle, and a building with two stories is a huge building. And so we were in the first floor, and finally the person helping us looked at us and said, "You have to go to talk to the manager." So sounded pretty serious to us. So we go up this incredible spiral staircase, and we get to the top. And it's this big, open, expansive area. There's no restricted areas or anything. You pretty much walk around. No one's going to even know which way to go. It's like, oh my God, so much freedom in one place in a bank. And off to one side was an office and a door, and it had this lady's name on it, and she was the one we had to talk to. And so while we waited to talk to her, we sat in these incredibly comfortable, luxurious chairs, very unusual for Panama. Usually any chair you sit in, it's clear you're not meant to be there long. And so they sat on the, looked on the counter, a beautiful glass designer coffee table, actually, in the seating area. There was a magazine. It's a farmer's magazine. That's interesting. Farmer's magazine. And on the cover of the farmer's magazine, it said, "Additives for feeding your cows." I said, that's fascinating. And so I looked in the book, and sure enough, I had a list of adjectives for feeding the cow. I said, that is interesting. So if you're advertising cow additives and you don't want the regular people to know about it, why not put it on the second floor of a bank where only certain people would go? And so I thought to myself, there must be a similar level of concealment going on, perhaps, in the United States. I checked, and sure enough, there it was. And this actually ties back into many of my medical school experiences, so we'll get to that part, too. But first, why is this important? Like, who cares? Why do you care? And when I was vegetarian, my attitude was, who cares? And if you're going to eat meat, just, well, eat meat. Don't worry about it. But the vegans, at the time I was only vegetarian, the vegans were very militant in condemning these CAFOs. And these were confined animal feeding organizations, where animals were treated absolutely inhumanely. And so they really brought that to light. So there's a whole animal rights issue that they put forth. But still, people like me and meteors, I was studying meteor, but at the same time, I was concerned the health benefits of eating or not eating meat. So other meat eaters were like, well, we're going to kill the animals anyway. Why get all bent out of shape about it? Well, then it came to light. You treat the animals bad, they get sick. You eat the animals, you get sick. Well, now everyone got excited about this. The CAFO thing is not cool. And so the meat eaters began to be concerned about the circumstances under which cows were raised. And so first, to understand the difference, I want to tell you what a CAFO is. And CAFO is where your regular meat comes from. So if you go to a fast food joint, you get a burger, that meat is CAFO. If you go to your regular grocery store, buy a piece of meat on sale, or just get it from the butcher, it's CAFO. Okay, so now let's see what that means to you. Okay, this means that the animal that the meat came from was congregated in close quarters with other animals, where the feed that they ate was mixed with feces, their own feces, and their own urine, and possibly even other dead animals. Now, recently, well, shows how old I am, in the 80s, 90s, actually, it was outlawed feeding ground-up cows to cows. So now I believe they feed ground-up sheep to the cows. So, and they take the ground-up cows and they feed back to the chickens. So we're going to stick to just cows today because it could be literally a five-hour program if we address what they're doing to the chickens and then what they're doing to the fish and so on. So we're going to stick with cows and just realize you can probably generalize this. Actually, you can because cows are actually getting the best treatment of all the animals. Okay, so you're getting a combination. This animal that you're eating, this burger, has been fed a combination of the animal's urine and feces and feed. And for the first 6 to 12 months of the animal's life, it was allowed to eat in the pasture. And then it was brought into the confined animal feeding operation where it was for at least 45 days, probably more. It received no grass and no vegetation and received soy and corn, lots of it, to get the animal fattened up and possibly drained as well. Now, what's the significance of soy and corn? Significance of soy and corn is that if it's not organic, it's probably genetically modified. And then now there's a preponderance of the evidence that genetically modified food is extremely unhealthy, unsafe, and many people have recovered their health by simply not eating genetically modified food. So this burger you're eating has been fed feces, urine, genetically modified soy, and genetically modified corn. So these animals then are rapidly fattened with this method. And these conventionally raised cows are also given drugs and hormones to grow faster. Most notably, of course, the hormones, which cause premature puberty in children. But the antibiotics, which cause fungal infection, yeast infection, destroy the immune system, and most recently, we're now understanding these antibiotics can cause depression and suicide in humans. most notably unicorns. So these animals are getting these things. And when you eat the meat from these animals, literally, I mean, you're eating a high-tech disease transmission system. That's basically what you're getting. And then after being fattened on these things, the cows are moved to a factory for slaughter. Now, the living conditions are extremely unsanitary. And so they receive the antibiotics and hormones, injections, whatever, to help them survive these living conditions. Because all they have to do is arrive at the slaughterhouse alive and breathing, and they will be slaughtered, and you know, you'll get them in your hamburger or your filet mignon or whatever piece of meat you decide to eat. So when the word got out about this, everyone who could afford to said, we want grass-fed beef. Well, first they asked for organic. So we want organic. We want organic cows. I said, okay, fine. We'll give you organic cows. We won't put the hormones in, and maybe we'll take out the antibiotics, and we won't give them pesticides and herbicides. So, okay, fine. But they still gave them the GMO soy and the GMO corn. And so then people say, wait. You got to do better than that. We want grass-fed. We want the cows eating natural food. And we want them to be raised in their natural habitat. We want them roaming around. We want them eating grass. All right. We'll give you something called grass-fed. And that's an animal that has eaten grass its whole life, supposedly. So what does the United States government say about grass-fed? Well, the United States government has yet to put forth any standards for grass-fed or defining what grass-fed is. Now, one thing they said is the outline is, if you want to claim your beef is grass-fed, is that it has to be grass-fed for 80% or more of the primary energy source. To put that in English, that means 80% of its life. Well, 80% of 18 months, which is basically how long a calf, a cow lives before they usually slaughter it. So you're now talking three months that this cow can be in a confined feeding situation getting soy and corn. And so the grass-fed beef guidelines still allow a manufacturer to claim the animal is grass-fed, even though it's spent as much as 3 months in a confined animal feeding operation. And so, just as we might guess, the labeling guidelines by the government has served to totally circumvent or confound the meaning that consumers had hoped to derive from the term grass-fed. So this is a problem. But why should you care? I mean, like, what's grass-fed going to do for you? Why pay the extra, you know, $5 or $10 a pound to get grass-fed? Well, grass-fed meat is actually healthy for people, so to say. So research shows that grass-fed meat is lean, contains a high percentage of good fat, that's your omega-3s, and your CLA, and beneficial antioxidants, vitamins, and minerals. And also, of course, it's healthy for the animal, and they don't have the digestive issues and problems. And, of course, it's healthy for the planet, and it's healthy for communities. So small family farms provide jobs, strong economies, and less pollution. That's much more sustainable. And so it really creates a healthier person. So if you're actually able to get an animal that was walking around in open pasture and eating grass all of its life, then you've got a healthier animal. But the grass-fed label apparently does not guarantee that. And so I thought, in my simplicity, that if the animal was grass-fed from beginning to end, then I would have it made in the shade. I would have a healthy piece of meat, I thought. Then I pick up this book and I said, oh my God, the grass-fed animals are receiving immunizations and they are receiving drugs for worms. These things are not mentioned in the standards of grass-fed animals. So I went to a chat room for cattlemen to see what the cattlemen were saying that they did with their grass-fed beef. And so this is the cattlemen's chat room. I'm not going to name any names. I'm just going to say what they said. So one cattleman says, those that don't vaccinate or deworm livestock are like the parents that don't believe in vaccinating their kids against childhood diseases. Penny wise, pound foolish. Okay. That's one viewpoint. Another one says, I make sure I give my calves Vision 8 and the mamas get triangle vaccine and Eprinex. But I don't believe in cow implants and hormones in my grass-fed beef. Okay, hallelujah. Another guy says, oh, I deworm them with Ivomec injectable and Ovashield Gold FPL5. Another guy says, well, I deworm regular and vaccinate once a year. Okay. Another guy says, well, this is a great program for me. It doesn't cost more than $35 a year per animal unit. We also weigh, measure horns, deworm any animal that's purchased from us on the day of sale for delivery or customer pickup. Okay, a lot of deworming going on there. Another one says, my daughter is a family practice doctor. She's a strong advocate of preventative medicine, keeping people healthy rather than treating illness after the fact wherever possible. And I think the same holds true for our livestock as it does for people. We vaccinate our kids against diseases, which may not be currently in our child, where vaccines exist for serious diseases. I think we should do the same for our cows. There you go. So the cow men speak out. And so this is a philosophy we have that's impregnating and raising our cattle. Oh, one guy on the forum says, vaccinations, immunizations are okay with natural beef, but hormones and background antibiotics are not. If an animal needs antibiotics, it'll get them. Not be sold as natural beef. I don't look at antibiotics as preventive medicine. And so, just for your information, the U.S. government says if you need to treat an animal, you need to document it. It doesn't say you need to remove the animal from the chain of meat being sold for human consumption. Very interesting. So the government definition of grass-fed is a marketing definition. We're very clear about that. oh, by the way, we have a chat room going on, so I think the chat room is saying a lot of interesting things there. The chat room is healingwithdrdaniel.chattango.com. You can log on there and join the conversation. Very, very interesting. So the government says that grass-fed grading, certification, and verification is simply a marketing claims standard. And they're saying grass and forage shall be the feed source consumed the lifetime of the cow, with the exception of milk consumed prior to weaning. The diet shall be derived solely from forage consisting of grass or cereal grains or crops or beans and legumes. And that would be soybeans, by the way. And animals cannot be fed grain or grain byproducts and must have continuous access to pastures during the growing season. Hay, haylage, silage, crop residues, and bulk grain, and other refuse sources may also be included as acceptable feed sources. And routine mineral and vitamin supplements may also be included in the feeding regimen. If incidental supplementation occurs due to inadvertent exposure to non-forage feedstuffs, to ensure the animal's well-being at all times during adverse environmental or physical conditions, the producer must fully document the supplementation that occurs, including the amount, the frequency, and the supplements provided. What does that say? But if you feed the animal some corn and soy by accident, oh well, just document it, and go ahead and keep your claim of grass-fed, and you can just sell the cow. Don't worry about it. So this is what the government certification is for grass-fed. So your grass-fed label is just about meaningless. I was really shocked to find this. So there is something called the AGA, American Grass Growers Association. They have their own standards. As you might guess, their standards are pretty rigorous. And so what the grass growers say is that the cow must be fed 100% grass their whole life, no ifs, ands, or buts, and that really no excuses. So they say the animals must eat only grass and forage throughout their lives, except when consuming milk before weaning. They cannot eat or be fed grain or grain byproducts, but food from cereal crops in the vegetative pre-grain state is okay. So they must have continuous access to pasturing during the growing season. So growing season is defined as the time between frost and trough. The animals can be given routine mineral and vitamin supplements. Producers have to document anything not considered routine. Again, that word document. It doesn't mean not sell it. It means document. As you can see, their standards are much more rigorous. And this is important because to the extent that the animals are receiving soy and corn, you're not going to get an animal of nutritional value that grass feeding would provide. So the other thing that you should know is producers who have been previously certified under the USDA's grass feeding program were grandfathered in on the grass-fed label. So any farmer using the term grass-fed before 2007 standard was created can continue to use it, even though he no longer complies with even the lax or loose standard that the feds have for the marketing term grass-fed. So this is another wrinkle, another dilution or degree of unreliability that's added to the labeling. Now, the AGA says that left to their own devices, cattle would eat grass their whole lives. But they're bought to feedlots at the end of their life and, force-fed these things that, like soy and corn, they're not natural to them. And the other issue now is the animal can be fed bales of moldy hay or moldy grass that's been preserved. And so that's not in any way controlled or forbidden or whatever. So the quality of the grass, if the farmer has to cut grass, store it, and feed the animal over the winter. So this is really, it comes down to a label that doesn't really mean very much. And some of the benefits, so what about the organic? People say, oh, certified organic beef. The problem is certified organic beef can be raised in a diet of corn and grain. That means then that the nutritional value of the organic beef is very low. The good news is it hasn't got chemicals, poisons, and drugs, but then it hasn't got any nutrition either. So there you have it. So the USDA certified organic label, again, is not felt to be a guarantee that the animal is truly free from artificial contaminants. And that's a difficult situation. So I thought, golly geez, that's really awful, and that's just terrible. And then of course it got worse. I took a look and well, okay, what about these vaccines that these cattle are getting? What are they vaccinating against. And what's that got to do with the people eating this cattle? All right, let's take a look at this. So I looked to see if vaccines and animals were effective. Are these vaccines really working? Are they helping the animals? That's, I mean, let's just start with there, because these cattlemen don't want to lose their herd. So newsflash, 2006, copyright, U.S. Government Printing Office, so definitely a credible source. And microbiologist Julia Ridpath of the National Animal Disease Center says, as they exist today, vaccine programs aimed at eradicating bovine viral diarrhea in the United States are not working. All right. So the BVDV vaccine is not working. Then there's another bacteria of cattle called leptospirosis. This, by the way, is also transmitted to people who eat the cattle, or can be transmitted. And bottom line on this one is bovine leptospirosis can result in spontaneous abortion, humans as well as cattle, by the way, in stillbirth, and none of the vaccines protected cattle from infection upon challenge. Okay, so much for leptospirosis vaccine. Let's take a look at the Bovi Shield. And this one is from drugs.com. Apparently, they have a drugs.com for animals, too. So bovine respiratory syncytial virus rate for vaccinated pregnant cows was no greater than the generally referenced spontaneous abortion rate. So in other words, that vaccine is not effective either. So we have a list of 12 vaccines available for cows. We already discussed a few of them that have no evidence of effection. Okay. So what else is new? What else is new is these diseases that they pretend to be vaccinated against. So there's infectious bovine rhinotracheitis. And this is caused by Campylobacter. Campylobacter is a human infectious organism as well. It does not cause death in a human, but it causes tremendous misery, diarrhea, stomach pain, your basic irritable bowel syndrome. Then there's parainfluenza. This is an annoying illness in humans, but probably not a big problem because not many humans have it. Bovine virus diarrhea, which you just talked about. In fact, these vaccines are totally ineffective. And then there's Haemophilus. Interesting, because there's an Haemophilus influenzae, which causes disease in humans. And this causes meningitis in humans, it causes ear infections, and that's an issue. And it might possibly be transported through the milk, because we find in pediatrics, when I was taking care of kids with ear infections, there's the children who drank a high milk diet that had this chronic problem. Then E. coli. This is where you hold your belly and you laugh real hard. They are immunizing cows against E. coli. E. coli is absolutely the main ingredient in cow manure. E. coli is also the main ingredient in human feces. 30% of human feces by volume is E. coli. And so E. coli is a usual and customary resident of the cow intestine and of the human intestine. And in humans, for sure, you can't have good health without E. coli. I don't want anybody to kid you about that. And with cows, it appears to be the same because the E. coli vaccine causes diarrhea and intestinal difficulties. In bison, they have not confessed to any problems in cows. If you research all these vaccines on the internet, you can look all you want. They don't list any side effects that vaccines might have in cows, but they do list the side effects that they create in bison. So E. coli vaccine is simply outrageous because E. coli, certain strains do cause disease, that's true, However, E. coli is actually part of your human good bacteria. And so if you have a cow immunized against E. coli, you're eating that cow. You're literally eating a vaccine that is capable of inhibiting and destroying your own E. coli. And then rotavirus, this is one that affects human movement. And this is another one that cows can be vaccinated against. Brucella abortus, this is a Brucella organism. It's also transmitted to humans. It causes abortions in cows and in humans as well. For the foot rot vaccine, and get this, is a pink eye vaccine. So pink eye is actually being vaccinated against. Who knows if it works? And leptospirosis, we mentioned before, that vaccine has been proven to be ineffective according to the people who do research on this thing. But it's something that's being given. And leptospirosis is in cows and it's in humans and it causes abortion or pregnancy loss and both. Then there's Clostridium. And Clostridium in cows causes diseases and causes a black leg. In humans, it can cause tetanus or lockjaw. And so these are some vaccines the cows can get. As you see, many of these diseases also here occur in humans. And it's likely that the cows get these diseases from humans. So this is another thing that's uncovered, is this link between diseased cows and diseased humans. And so these diseases clearly travel from cow to human. Now, one might mention vaccination, but the issue with vaccination, of course, one is lack of evidence of effectiveness, and two is if you are a health-conscious individual in the United States, chances are you choose not to be personally vaccinated because you might be aware that they're not effective. You might also be aware that they're dangerous. And so if you choose not to be vaccinated, then why eat an animal that's potentially received anywhere from 4 to 20 vaccines? So this is a real issue. So people who are eating grass-fed beef are getting all of these vaccines. Now, the other thing to look at is there's other illnesses or things that the cows have. In other words, nematodes, trematodes, other external parasites, and viruses. And for these, there are the anti-worm medicines, which are replete with side effects when humans ingest them. Just the same as humans can get side effects when they eat animals treated with antibiotics. Now, another disease is trichomonas, trichomoniasis. This is a sexually transmitted disease in people. And it's a protozoal disease, and it's transmitted during breeding, sexually transmitted disease, in cows as well. And so one has to almost ask, could this be the transmission route from cows to people? Is there a possibility of getting it when you eat an infected member of the herd, so to speak? So this is a huge, huge issue. So what's going on here then is we have a label called grass-fed, which is totally unreliable. We have, even if the label were reliable, we have a situation where the animals are being heavily vaccinated and treated with deworming medicine. So what's a person to do? Well, one thing you can do is obviously you simply have to get to know the farmer. You've got to go meet the farmer, talk to the farmer, ask him if he vaccinates, ask him if he uses worming medicine. And a lot of farmers will tell you, oh, I have to do that. If I don't do that, then my herd or my animal won't grow. And you can now even have arrangements. I suggest this is a good thing to do, is to tell the farmer, look, I'll buy this calf, actually bought two calves because one calf might die. I bought these two calves, so I want these two calves unvaccinated, and I don't want them to receive any women medicine, nothing. These two cows right here, or calves, that they slaughtered at about 18 months. And you probably could strike such a deal with your farmer. And someone in the chat room here says you can raise your own dwarf cattle in the backyard. I think it's an excellent idea. And it seems to be in light of the various labeling practices, that's really the only thing to do. Different suppliers of grass-fed beef have different level of personal integrity. And if one simply adheres to the grass-fed marketing standards put forth by the USDA, it's not clear that you're going to end up with a final product much different from that of a confined animal feeding organization. And so you've really got to have a hands-on approach towards your beef. I would say for most people, though, visiting the farmer, talking with the farmer, finding out what's going on is what makes the most sense. And relying on the grass-fed label as any assurance at all, it does not make sense. It's not sensible or reliable. And so, just in case that's not enough, rabies vaccination in cattle is now making rabies a permanent infection in the species, and there's a new mutant strain of rabies that is species jumping without a need for a bite to transmit rabies. The transmission is like the spreading of the common cold. So vaccines are definitely something to be avoided in your meat supply. So get to know the farmer. Eat less meat, less of it, you know, the smallest amount of meat that gives you the energy level that you feel you need, and the cleanest meat you can possibly get. Definitely, I would say it's worth raising a miniature cattle in your, a cow or calf in your backyard. And when you slaughter it, put it in the freezer and make it last so you can go at least a year without a cattle, a cow in your backyard, because they do make a mess. It's worse than having a dog. Now we're going to take some questions. If people have questions, they can call in at 914-338-0695. The number again is 914-338-0695. So that's the call number for people who have questions. And I'd like to just take a break and talk about vitality capsules. Vitality capsules, as you know, are temporarily out of stock, and they will be in stock in March. The label design is finalized. However, our label maker says, week, it'll take 9 business days to get the label done. Manufacturer, really great company, has agreed not to use any excipients, binders, or additives, and he's agreed to get those labels, I mean, those bottles packed, done, and finished. Within a week of getting the label. So we're really excited about that, and I will keep you posted. Okay, we have a question. Hi, Sebastian Banners, you're on the air?
Yes, hi. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Okay, I have a question. I'm listening to all this. It makes me, I just don't want to eat meat anymore because I think I'm I am buying grass-fed, and I think, you know, you're buying grass-fed. I'm buying it from a small farm in, you know, not too far from where I live, but, you know, I look at it sometime, and because I know I grew up in the Caribbean and I know what healthy meat look like, it just still does not look like, you know, grass-fed meat to me. I don't know what it looks like, but it just, just looks similar to the beef that's in the grocery store. But
exactly.
It just looks the same. But I'm trying to cut back on what I eat for meat and all that stuff, and you know, try to not have too much of it. If I have beef once a week, I mean, that's like a lot, and you know, chicken mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But another thing I was calling about is because I actually went to my doctor. I mean, I know I'm overweight, but I have this diagnosis of fatty liver, and I got mm-hmm. your book that says what does it say? If you have the gut to be beautiful, to be.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I started doing some enemas. But I know there's so much stuff out there, like the coffee enemas, there, you know, salt water, all that different stuff. Does that aid me? Would that aid me in helping to reduce? Because my doctor called me. I called today and said, what do I do about a fatty liver? And she said, just lose weight. And I'm like, okay, cool. because I was given some medication. I forget what it is, but it's for bloating and for gas. And I think it's mm-hmm. Perlex X. It's sort of be like a time release something. I don't really like to take medication, so I took it very reluctantly because I ended up in the emergency room a couple of weeks ago with really bad pain in my stomach, didn't know what it was. So I was given that. But
so your question is, what about enemas and what would be a safe enema? Is that your question?
Yes.
Okay.
So would that help?
Yeah, I'll answer that. Really keep it simple. If you're new to enemas, you haven't really done them, then just use filtered water, reverse osmosis, or distilled. Start with that. Keep it very, very simple. You could do coffee enemas. The issue with coffee enemas is over time you can get adrenal failure. So, you know, and when you first start coffee enemas, you can get nervousness and insomnia. And really, coffee enema, of course, is a healing enema, but its major use is with models who want to stay super thin. Yes, you will lose weight with coffee enemas. So you can lose weight with a regular water enema. If the water enema is not to your liking and the water doesn't seem to flow in, then put a little salt in it, like a teaspoon of salt per quart of water, and keep your enema volume small, like one quart at a time is fine. That way you're not going to get into trouble. The other question the caller mentioned, which is that this grass-fed stuff looks a lot like regular stuff. That's really what I'm talking about today. And so you need to have an honest discussion with your farmer. And I'm hoping that the information I've talked about today gives you what you need in order to have an honest discussion with your farmer. So what you're going to ask about is you're going to ask about vaccinations. You're going to ask about worm medicines. You're going to ask which worm medicines are you using. And then you're also going to say, hey, I know the government guidelines are flexible. Are you feeding the animal some soy and corn for a few days of its life, and how many? And usually the farmer will be very honest with you, maybe a little defensive. You might say, well, I only feed them 60 days of corn and soy, and the government allows 90, and I'm sticking to the rules. That's okay. Tell them, hey, I'm just want information. So, you know, ask those questions. And if you're buying grass-fed, you know you're paying more money for it anyway. So that's what you want to take a look at. You're on the air. Your question?
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I was wondering, what does an honest farmer do to raise beef if he has a problem and he doesn't want to use medications? Does he use something like diatomaceous earth or something like that?
Are you asking me what I think an honest farmer should do or what the honest farmers actually do?
What they actually do, yeah.
Oh, what the honest farmers actually do is just what I told you. They use immunizations and they use deworming drugs because they are allowed under the grass-fed guidelines.
Yeah, but now how about these? Like I live in Syracuse, New York, and
mm-hmm.
we have a farmer's market there, and there are several people who sell beef and chicken and other forms of, like goats and lambs. And I never thought of talking to him and asking him what they used, but they claim to be organic. I mean, that's probably a better source than going to Wegmans or something like that and getting organic beef, right?
Not necessarily. I'll take you off the air and answer the question for you. I'm from Syracuse, so I'm familiar with the Syracuse market. And it turns out that many of those people at the market don't actually raise any of that food themselves. They go to the market early in the morning, and there's a whole lineup along the right there. And they go there and buy either their produce or their meat, stand behind your stand and say, okay, I'm a farmer. I'm at the farmer's market selling this. You assume the person you're talking to is the farmer, but they may not actually be. And that's another question to ask. Hey, did you raise this chicken? That's the first question. And they say, oh, no, I didn't raise chicken. I just got it on the so-and-so's word that he says it was an organic chicken, so I think it's organic too. Well, then, you know, you're shopping at the wrong place, and you might as well be shopping at a local grocery store. So at the farmer's market in Syracuse, most of the people at the market actually buy produce that's thrown in or shipped in, and they buy it along the right side there, the loading dock. And then they stand behind the stand and sell it. I found it out by accident because one day, I know what possessed me, but I got to the farmer's market before it opened, which is like very, very early. And I was shocked to see the people who were soon to be behind their stands buying their food from this area. And so things are not always what they seem. In fact, they're almost never what they say. All right, there's another question. Hi, you're in
the
air.
Hi, Dr. Daniels. Dr. Daniels?
Yes, how are you doing? What's your question tonight?
My question is, does this also happen with lamb, goat, and bison meat?
Yes. Bison meat, the bison manufacturers, there is a Bison Manufacturers Association. You can Google them on the Internet, and they are very militant. And they don't believe in these vaccines, and they don't want to vaccinate their bison. It's an incredible discussion among the bison people on the Internet about this. But they do still vaccinate, and they do still have all these other concerns. And so if you're buying bison meat, you need to ask the exact same questions. Did this animal get vaccinated? Did this animal get worms?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. So that's what really is going to protect you, just asking the questions and knowing what question to ask. And if you don't even ask, then you're just like a sitting duck. And here you are spending twice as much per pound, and as the other lady said, getting something that looks a lot like the stuff you're trying to get away from. And that's what you don't want to have happen. And it's really unfortunate. Now, many people have said, Dr. Daniels, you should really give the medical profession a hard time. You should talk about how bad doctors are, and you should talk about how they're trying to make us all sick. But you can't just leave the conversation there because the food you're eating is a huge, huge part of it. And it's only by putting additives in the food to make you sick that the present medical industrial complex can have such a large, fertile, reliable supply of people for its interventions and for its therapies. So it's important to know that. It's also helps to know that the same people who make your drugs also make the drugs for the animals. And so you can see the connection there. So we have some questions here on the chat room. Okay. The question is grass-fed a better label than organic? And the answer is that if the labels were meaningful, if you really had a grass-fed cow, if you had to choose between a grass-fed cow or an organic cow, definitely choose the grass-fed cow. However, since both labels, organic and grass-fed, have a lot of wiggle room, it's not clear how meaningful they are. And that's the hazard for people who are trying to eat healthy. And people spend a lot of money on trying to eat healthy and trying to do the right thing. And in the end, they're doing something that is the same or perhaps even worse than what they were trying to escape. And so if you've been working on your health, been spending considerable money, not making any leaps forward, then send an email to Gabriel, support@vitalitycapsules.com, and see if one of my programs might be helpful to you. I do help some people one-on-one and help them escape this incredible trap that is costing them their health and their fortune. And so that email again is gabriel@vitalitycapsules.com. Take an invitation, might as well say, you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniel, blakeradio.com. And so this person asked about brucellosis. Brucella was originally used for pasteurization of milk, and probably so, but it's not. But as we now know, the pasteurization of milk brought with it a lot of ills, maybe even worse than the brucellosis, which is the lack of nutritional value in the milk at all. All right, so next week, what do we have on tap for next week? Next week's topic is, how can we win if we're killing all the good guys? And this really talks about the antibiotic era and the infections that doctors represent themselves as fighting. Many of these organisms that are actually helpful organisms that are part of your immune system, that strengthen your immune system, are being labeled as disease-causing organisms, and the antibiotics are killing those organisms and making you unhealthy in the process. Next week, we're going to talk about what those organisms are that are actually your friends that have been labeled otherwise, and other things that might actually be causing your infections and other cancer. The monsoons are coming, so you're hearing them in the background. I don't know if you're hearing the noise. And any other questions? Okay, so people in the chat room are very concerned that they cannot see the question on. I think, you know, again, what's really happened in between the food supply and the health system is people have been prevented from exerting responsibility in their life. Because people have lost control of their food supply, they've been inundated with poisonous food, and then they convert it into a healthcare system that quite the health of the economy. Now, Lorraine is pretty happy now, so I'm going to sign off. Give me a hand, please, and possibly win if we're filling up all the good guys. Thank you very much.